Hi, and thank you for joining us today for Destigmatizing Urology, an official podcast series from Urology Times. As we all know, stereotypes and misleading information circulate within the field of urology, and these miscommunications can negatively affect doctor-patient counseling and decision-making. This series destigmatizes topics in urology alongside clinical experts to help listeners practice more efficiently and foster better relationships with their patients. I'm your host and Urology Times assistant editor, Janelle Hart. Today I'm speaking with Dr. Bradley C. Leibovich about the issues surrounding testicular cancer. More specifically, he encourages physicians to educate themselves and others on this disease so that patients can feel more comfortable seeking care and providers can better manage it. Leibovich is the David C. Utz Professor of Urology at the Mayo Clinic and a medical director at the Mayo Clinic Center for Digital Health in Rochester, Minnesota. So if you can begin by describing the stigma surrounding testicular cancer.
Yeah, I don't know that I would say that there's a stigma around testicular cancer. In fact, because testicular cancer affects, you know, primarily young men, late teens to early 30s, there is a second peak in the 50s and 60s, but, you know, most people think of it as a young men's disease. And since there have been some prominent athletes who have had testicular cancer, I'm not sure I would say there's a stigma. The big problem with testicular cancer is a delay in diagnosis because many of these young men have concerns about body image, about masculinity, about the fact that, you know, it's a reproductive organ. And then a delay in diagnosis is not good in terms of our ability to treat the disease. So the longer the delay in diagnosis, the more likely somebody is to present with advanced stage. And even though we cure virtually everybody of testicular cancer, the amount of treatment that somebody needs to achieve that cure is greater, and the side effects of treatment are greater the later people present. And while we cure most patients, we don't cure everybody, and it's much easier to cure people at early stage than at later stage. So again, I'm not sure I would call it a stigma, but I do think we have a big issue with education of young men around things like testicular self-examination and about the fact that, you know, it's okay to let us know if you think something's not right.
How do these issues surrounding testicular cancer impact the management of patients with this condition?
First thing that I think patients and providers that are not urological providers need to know is that any man that thinks there's something not right with their testicles should go see a physician pretty much immediately. So one of the problems that we have with testicular cancer is men have other causes of having swelling in the testicle or even pain in the testicle, and they will often assume that it's not testicular cancer or don't even know that testicular cancer is a thing. And therefore, there's a delay in diagnosis because of that. And testicular cancer is quite rare, with only maybe 8 or 10,000 new cases per year in the United States. So the same issue occurs with providers. You know, most primary care providers won't see a testicular cancer patient more than a few times, if ever, in their entire career. So it's not something they're familiar with. So I think the first thing is, you know, if something doesn't feel right down there, let us know. But since a lot of men have not been taught to do testicular self-exam, it's remarkable how little men know about what a normal testicle is supposed to feel like as well. So I think those are issues that we as a society have to cross, and we have to educate young men about, you know, what the testicle is supposed to feel like and about doing a monthly self-exam. The other issues are that, you know, sometimes even without obvious signs or symptoms in the testicles, people can present with issues that relate to advanced disease, things like, you know, fatigue or back pain or gynecomastia. And, you know, a lot of people that are fatigued, a lot of people that have back pain assume it's something else. And we have the same sort of masculinity concerns or embarrassment concerns about, you know, reporting gynecomastia. So all of these things feed into a potential and delaying diagnosis.
What are some innovations in this space that have helped to manage the quality of life for patients who suffer from this condition?
Yeah, it's a good question. So innovation in medicine is a big deal, right? And technology is improving medicine dramatically in so many ways. Testicular cancer is, you know, really one of the poster childs for a curable malignancy. And that's been a long-standing thing. So we are getting better and better at curing people, and we're getting better at curing people with less intensive treatment. So we're minimizing the impact of the treatment on people's quality of life and assuring a higher likelihood of cure. But really for testicular cancer, we've been curing people reliably for a long time. So a lot of the, I would say, innovations are around better communication tools that allow us to get the message out and educate people. I show young men YouTube videos about testicular self-exam. Social media has been helpful in getting the word out about self-exam. Social media is really helpful in supporting young men, letting them know that they're going to be okay, and diminishing that fear about coming in to see the doctor and knowing that they're likely to be cured and have a normal quality and quantity of life. So I think those sorts of things have been really helpful. Ultimately, the availability of some new tumor markers, new blood tests may be very helpful in helping us further diminish the amount of treatment we have to give people to achieve the cure. And I hope and expect that innovations that have been available but sort of pushed to the forefront with the healthcare emergency because of the pandemic will be useful in providing access to care by testicular cancer experts for people that don't necessarily live right next to a testicular cancer expert. So since testicular cancer is so rare, and since we have a problem with health equity across the globe and in the United States, I'm hoping that things like, you know, virtual visits, virtual testing, remote diagnostics, including remote blood tests, remote ultrasound, so scrotal ultrasound, other remote diagnostic tests, even remote physical exam is something we're working on, will be helpful in providing access to people that are experts in testicular cancer, even if they don't happen to be close to you physically and geographically.
And then, so what do you think is the urologist's role in destigmatizing testicular cancer?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, every urologist should be making the rounds, talking to as many people as possible in their local communities about feel the testicles once a month. If you feel something, it's usually nothing to worry about, but you have to let us look into it further for you. You can't just assume it's nothing, and that you shouldn't be fearful, you know, from a body image place. If people are really concerned about the potential loss of a testicle, we have very good testicular prostheses we can put in now. So I think we have to educate people about that. I think it's really important to tell people about fertility issues and testosterone. So I start off with, you know, every man that I see with testicular lump, and I explain to them the testicles do three things for them. They help with fertility. They help make testosterone. They are their primary factory for the man of testosterone, which is the male hormone, and they're ornamental. And I explain to people that when we remove a testicle, we don't remove the scrotum. And if they have concerns about body image, we can replace the ornamental issue with a testicular prosthesis. I explain to them that men with one testicle rarely have issues making a normal amount of testosterone. And normally the amount of testosterone a man has holds steady. But if people do have issues with low testosterone, or in the rare patients that lose both testicles to testicular cancer, or the rare man that has testicular cancer and has only one testicle, we can replace testosterone nowadays very easily. It can be replaced with a long-term implant under the skin. It can be replaced with a gel. It can be replaced with a patch, and we don't have to do the, you know, every 2-week shots that we used to have to do. And that's pretty much seamless. And then I explained to them that we always discuss, from a fertility perspective, sperm banking, and we have lots of ways to help men assure that they can maximize their chance of having kids down the road if that's important to them. So I think getting that sort of educational stuff out is the job of the urologist, so that people know that we can help and it doesn't have to be a quality of life issue. And then I think, in addition to educating young men directly, as I said earlier, we need to educate the primary care providers. So our advanced practice providers, our physician assistants, our nurse practitioners that do primary care, our family medicine docs, the general internal medicine docs, all need to be educated. School nurses all need to be educated about what to look for and what to do if somebody does report something feeling awry with a testicle.
And lastly, is there anything else you feel our audience should know about this specific topic?
You know, I'm just going to say it one more time. I say it with my patients over and over and over again. And I really make sure that they understand that the expectation is that we cure you and we cure you with normal quality of life. So the expectation, if you are diagnosed with testicular cancer, is that we can preserve your quantity and quality of life in the majority of circumstances. And that, you know, the majority of the time, if you have a symptom that you think might be related to testicular cancer, if that's something like fatigue or back pain or gynecomastia, breast enlargement, or if that's sensitivity of the breasts, or if you have a lump in your testicle, the vast majority of the time is not testicular cancer. Testicular cancer is rare, but we have to check it out for you and we have to make sure. And the earlier you do that, the better we can help with the least impact to that person. So just trying to hit those points home one more time.
Be sure to subscribe to Destigmatizing Urology on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps. You can get the latest clinical perspectives and practice management advice by visiting www.urologytimes.com. Thank you for listening.